Romans chapter 8, please. I'm going to preach on the subject of the work of the Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to try to cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time. And every topic, really, I think I've got 6 points, and all 6 points could actually be a sermon. So, I guess you might call this an overview rather than a really in-depth study. But I want to preach on the subject, the work of the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 5. And let's go ahead and read that. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for every person that's here. We pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way in the service today, and that our hearts would be knit together in love, and that we would look to you for our strength and our encouragement. And God, that you would guide us into all truth. Thank you so much for all the blessings, the spiritual blessings and the physical blessings that you've allowed us to enjoy. We just ask for your help again today. Bless every person that's here. Bless those who are not able to be here today. God, just touch them in a special way. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. One old preacher said, it matters but little what we know unless we know Christ, nor what knowledge we have of Christ unless it is spiritual and experimental. A person may know the plan of salvation and not know Christ. A person may know a lot about the Bible and not know Christ. A person may perform many rituals and not know Christ. And a person may be able to define doctrine and not know Christ. Again, if you look at verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The thing, if you're saved, God is your Father. He is your Father. You've been adopted, and you know God. You know Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Christians shouldn't have the spirit of fear if they have the Holy Spirit. They should have a sound mind of love. The Holy Ghost is the author and the giver of life, light, and holiness. The Holy Ghost is the author and the giver of light, life, and holiness. The Holy Ghost convinces us of sin. He leads us to the Savior. He sanctifies the soul. He opens the Word of God and guides us into all truth and understanding. And without Him, we can do nothing. We recently looked at the new birth. I preached on that a couple weeks ago, I think. The new birth, the importance of the new birth. Jesus said, as you probably remember in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born again. And then he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So the new birth is a miracle, isn't it? The new birth is a miracle. When God saves someone, he takes out the stony heart and gives them a fleshy heart, a heart that he can write on. It's a heart transplant. The new birth is a miracle. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. I have an inheritance, do you? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved. I have a reservation, reserved in heaven for you. It's important that a person knows they've been born again, isn't it? And then the Bible says in 1 Peter, who are kept by the power of God. I'm glad I'm not keeping myself. Kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So I've got 6 points. We'll go over them real quickly. Number one, a true Christian is someone who's been born of the Spirit. A true Christian is someone who's being taught by the Spirit. A true Christian is someone who's being led by the Spirit. A true Christian is someone who's indwelt by the Spirit. And a true Christian is someone who desires to be full of the Spirit. And a true Christian is somebody who's sealed by the Spirit. We're talking about the work of the Holy Ghost. Now again, this is going to be just kind of flying over it here. I'm not going to get real deep. Every one of these points could be a sermon. But I want to get across to you today that the Holy Spirit has a work to do in our lives as Christians. First of all, we're born of the Spirit. Number one, we're born of the Spirit. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. We're born of God, born from above. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. By grace you are saved. The new birth is a quickening, isn't it? It means made alive. Made alive by God. The new birth. So the first thing is, we're born of the Spirit. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? That's the most important thing, isn't it? They asked George Whitefield one time, they said, every time you preach, you preach on you must be born again. Why do you do that? And he said, because you must be born again. You must be born again. If you haven't experienced a new birth, then you're outside of Christ. You have to be born again. Secondly, we're taught by the Spirit. Not only are we born from above, we're born of the Spirit, we're taught by the Spirit. Take your Bible, I'm going to have you turn a few times. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and let's look at verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, but the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We are taught by the Spirit of God. The Christian is taught by God. Has given us his Holy Spirit to teach us. Is that not so? He is teaching us. We don't always, we're not the best pupils at times. But he is teaching us, and he's a patient teacher. And he's going to teach us. Unfortunately, I think some of us is what my dad used to say about me. He said, you have to learn everything the hard way. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? But the Holy Spirit, he does teach us. He does teach us. And in John chapter 16, if you're in John, at just a page or so over, John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide us into truth. You know, when people sometimes they get saved, they get mixed up, and they get mixed up with the wrong people even. And sometimes they might join the wrong crowd. But the Holy Spirit, if he's really a true Christian, or she's really a true Christian, the Holy Spirit will eventually lead them out of that. He will guide them into truth. They will get to where they need to be. If the Lord lets them live long enough and the Lord tarries, he'll eventually guide them into truth. He guides us. He guides us where we need to be. He guides us. And I'm sure most of you here could say that things you've learned over the years, he has guided you and taught you, and you grow. And maybe some of the things you used to believe, because you just took the man's word for it, whoever said it, or maybe you read it in a book and you thought it was true because you thought all Christians told the truth. Maybe the Lord has showed you differently over time, that there's some things here that's not necessarily in the Bible. By the way, the Bible is our authority, isn't it? And the Holy Ghost is not going to teach anything contrary to the Bible. And the Holy Ghost is going to glorify Christ. He's not going to do anything that's going to hurt the cause of Christ or hurt the name of Christ, is he? We're taught by the Spirit. Verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. So we're born of the Spirit and we're taught of the Spirit. True? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, a lost person, don't get mad at me now, but a lost person is limited to how they can understand the Bible. Now, they may understand the historic facts of the Bible, and they may understand some of the truths of the Bible, but they're still, the Bible has to be spiritually discerned. And the Holy Ghost has to do that. He guides us and teaches us. Amen. And he shows us things. You'll read a verse. You may have read it your whole life. You may have heard it 100 times. But you'll read a verse and the Holy Spirit sometimes will show you something that you hadn't seen before. He's teaching us, isn't he? All along the way. He teaches us not only to know about Christ and to know the Savior, and this is the hard part, he also teaches us about ourselves. And usually that's not good. He humbles us, doesn't he? Yep. He teaches us and shows us our failures and our faults and our where we need help. He teaches us. He teaches us. We're born of the Spirit and we're also taught of the Spirit. Number three, we're led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. I love that old hymn, he leadeth me, oh precious thought. He leadeth me. Does he lead you today? Romans, if you'll go back and look at Romans 8 again. Romans 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then I want to just, for sake of time, if you'll notice down here, in verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's leading us. If you're a Christian today, he's leading you. He's not driving you. He's not pushing you. He's leading you. He's leading you. He doesn't drag us. He's leading us. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So he's directing us, isn't he? He's leading us. To be Spirit-led, that's what we should want, isn't it, as Christians? He leads us, number one, he leads us to repentance. And when I say that, I mean this. We've all known the term, being Baptist, once saved, always saved. Well, I'll give you another one. Once repentant, always repentant.
Amen.
In other words, we're always just sinners. We're always needing to repent.
Yep.
We're always needing correction. We're always needing help, aren't we? So repentance is a lifelong endeavor. You're going to repent. He leads us to repent. He leads us into knowledge. He increases our knowledge in scriptural things. He leads us into holiness. Jesus Christ was holy. Was anybody ever more holy than Jesus Christ? No. Do you know what? The Holy Spirit tries to conform us into His image. He is leading us to be more like Christ. In other words, if we're going to be more like Christ, we're going to be more holy. Sometimes, you know, if somebody tries to be holy, they get called names like Holy Roller. Holy Joe. But you know, Christians are supposed to be more holy. They're to strive to be more holy. The Holy Spirit is leading us to be more holy. He's leading us. And He ultimately leads us to Jesus Christ. In other words, not only in salvation, but in our entire life, He's leading us to Christ. He's trying to lead us to where we're more like Christ. And let me say this, He doesn't just lead us on Sunday, He leads us on Monday too.
Yep.
He doesn't just lead us on Sunday, He leads us all through the week. We've got enough people in the world that are just Sunday morning Christians. We need people that are Christians all week. He leads us. He leads us. By the way, when you leave this building, you don't leave Him behind if you're a Christian. He goes with you, doesn't He? You know, let me just read this to you, and everybody's going to know it. But I thought of this as I was outlining this, how relevant this particular psalm is. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's our shepherd, isn't He?
Yep.
He leads us. And you know what? I just look back there. You know what's behind me? Goodness and mercy. They'll follow me all the days of my life. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Isn't it good to be a Christian? He leads us. We're born of the Spirit, taught of the Spirit, led of the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit. Number four, we're indwelt by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got to hurry, so you guys listen fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Tim will put this on Facebook, and you can like me on Facebook. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not, this is a question, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. This body is a temple. It's the temple of God. It's the temple of God. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians and verse 19, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. You've been purchased, haven't you? Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. We just sung that a minute ago. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, because of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him, as they used to say, lock, stock, and barrel. If you're a Christian today, you belong to Him lock, stock, and barrel. He owns you. He owns this part of you, and He owns that part of you, inside and out. Therefore, glorify Christ in your body and in your spirit. He indwells us. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, indwelt by the Spirit, remember that, in verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. If you're a Christian, the Holy Ghost indwells you. Isn't that a precious thing? That the Holy Spirit indwells you? When a person's saved, the Holy Ghost lives inside. He moves inside. And we are His temple. We're born of the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and indwelt by the Spirit. Number five, we're not always this way, but number five, we should desire to be filled with the Spirit. We should desire to be filled with the Spirit. You know, you start talking about being filled with the Spirit, some people get nervous. But the Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The New Testament speaks several times about being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible describes Paul and Peter and Barnabas and Stephen as being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22. You know, to be filled with the Spirit means to walk in the Spirit. That's another way of saying that. To be filled with the Spirit means to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that have crucified the flesh in the affections and lust, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to have the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, I should say. And the Bible goes on to say, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, we need to be good to each other. If you're filled with the Spirit, you ought to be good to each other. Amen? Husband, you ought to be good to your wife. Wife, you ought to be good to your husband. Children, you ought to be good to your parents. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Husbands are in verse... Back to Romans again. In verse 5 it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Where's your mind? Do you mind the things of the Spirit or do you mind the things of the flesh? We're to mortify this flesh. I just read that to you. We're to mortify. The flesh is opposite, is contrary to the Spirit, isn't it? This old man wants to do the opposite of what the Bible tells us we need to do. It has to be mortified. Someone asked Leonard Ravenhill, can you give me a definition of really being filled with the Spirit? What is the Spirit-filled life? And he answered this. He said, well, number one, you're easy to live with. Don't tell me you're Spirit-filled if nobody can get along with you. Don't tell me you're Spirit-filled if you can't get along with your spouse. Don't tell me you're Spirit-filled if you go around causing trouble all the time. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, mercy, gentleness, meekness. Christians should do... We should desire to be filled with the Spirit. We should desire to be filled with the Spirit. Number six, I'm on the last point. Somebody get the coffee brewing. On the last point, number six, we're sealed by the Spirit. We're sealed by the Spirit. Ephesians 4, look at it please. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22, that you put off, notice this, put off concerning the former conversation, in other words, our former lifestyle, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you know the Christian life is a life of putting off and putting on? The Christian life is a life of putting off and putting on. It's not like to the best of my knowledge, I was saved June 10th, 1989. That's the day that I cried out to the Lord and He saved me. At that time, I didn't put off the old man and put on the new, and haven't had to do it since. I have to do it every day. And if you're a Christian, you have to do it every day. I guess what I'm trying to get across to you is it's not a one-time deal. The problem is when I get up in the morning, this old man gets up too. And I have to deal with him. And you have to deal with him. Verse 25, wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole. He's talking to Christians here. Think about that. You shouldn't have to tell Christians this, right? Huh. Evidently you do. Correct? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by our bad behavior, can't we? We can grieve the Spirit of God by the way we are lack of mortifying the flesh. But we are to put off the old man. Here's the good news. We're sealed to the day of redemption. This passage relates the point that I just mentioned, being filled with the Spirit. That means to put off the old man and put on the and to mortify the flesh and to put on the new man. But it also, this Scripture I've read to you mentions something, a great truth, is that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. How long are we sealed? Into the day of redemption. Now what does that mean? That doesn't mean the redemption of our souls. If you're saved today, your soul is redeemed. It means that the redemption of this body. This old body, some of us is getting older. This old body, we're going to get another one. We're going to get a new one. This body's going to be redeemed. But until that time, I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. We've been redeemed. Our souls have been redeemed. We've been redeemed by the from the curse of the law by the precious blood of Christ. But these bodies have not been redeemed yet. You agree with that?
Yes.
These bodies have not been redeemed yet, but they're going to be. And until they are, I'm sealed. And if you're a Christian, you're sealed until the day of redemption. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, He's keeping me. He's the keeper of my soul. Praise the Lord. He's the keeper of my soul. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, there's coming a day he's going to quicken this. Not only he's quickened my soul, he's given me the new birth. He's quickened me. I've been made alive in Christ. But one of these days he's going to quicken this mortal body. But until that day, I'm sealed. I'm sealed. Now what I need to do is not grieve the Holy Spirit. I need to be led of the Spirit. I need to be taught of the Spirit. I need to walk in the Spirit. That's what I need to do. That's what you and I, all of us, if you're a Christian, that's what we need to do. So let me just ask you in closing, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Secondly, is he teaching you? Is he teaching you? Is he leading you? We should desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. We should desire to be taught by the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that Christians need to do sometimes is take their Bible and say, Lord, I believe everything you wrote here. You've written down here, I believe it. And I want you to teach me. I want you to teach me. I believe he will. I believe he'll guide you into all truth. Now, I've got to warn you, you'll probably find some things in this Bible that you haven't seen before. And you'll probably find some things in this Bible that the preachers hadn't taught you before. But, you know, it's like ragu. It's in there. Isn't it? There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand, but I still believe it. I believe it. Does his Spirit teach you? Does he lead you? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? Does he dwell in you? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you're a Christian today, he indwells you, doesn't he? He indwells you. I guess I'm asking today, do you know Jesus Christ? Because that's what he does. He points to Christ, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit points to Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you believed on him? Have you believed on him to be your substitute? That's what I'm asking. Have you believed on him to be your sin bearer? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Is that your testimony today? Do you know him? Do you know him? The Holy Spirit, what a precious thing, the Comforter God has given us. And you know what? He never leaves us. He never leaves us. He's always with us, and we're sealed until the day of redemption. That's something to praise the God about, isn't it? Something to praise the Lord about.